Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Message Broker version 7.0 Administration and Troubleshooting Made Easy. Today's presenter is Amar Shah. Amar has been associated with the WebSphere Message Broker product for the past 7 years and currently acts as a technical lead for Level 3 support. He is responsible for driving serviceability improvement of the products. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Amar.
Thank you, Joseph, for the introduction. Slide number 2. Okay, so in today's session, we will see some of the fundamental architectural changes to Message Broker version 7, namely the phasing out of the Configuration Manager, and second is the broker's internal database dependency. We will also see how the administrative security is managed for the runtime components as the Configuration Manager is no more available. Then we will see how the administration of the broker domain has become simpler by using the new Message Broker Explorer. Finally, we will see some of the facilities available in Message Broker Explorer that can help to do some problem determination. Slide number 3. So there are fundamental changes to the Message Broker version 7 architecture in that the number of dependencies and the components have been reduced greatly to simplify overall management of broker domain. First, we will see the overview of Configuration Manager removal. In Message Broker version 6.1, Configuration Manager was the main component responsible for deployment, providing administrative access control for runtime operations and for maintaining the PubSub topology. Since there is no Configuration Manager in version 7, so broker becomes responsible for deployment, management, and enforcement of the administrative security. Also, existing tools administer the brokers directly, as we will see in the next slide. Slide number 4. Okay, so applications that manage brokers and their resources now connect directly to the Message Broker version 7. These applications include WebSphere Message Broker Explorer. We will see more on it in the upcoming slides. The second is WebSphere Message Broker Toolkit. Then we have command line interface. Then we have applications that are written with the Configuration Manager Proxy API, including the CMP Exerciser tool shipped with the product. As you can see in this slide, the Message Broker Toolkit, the Explorer, the command line interface, and any third-party CMP API applications can now directly access Broker through the CMP interface as Configuration Manager has been completely removed. In previous versions of Broker, this API was known as Configuration Manager Proxy API. Now it is referred as Administrative API. Existing Configuration Manager commands now directly talk to the broker, like NQSI deploy, NQSI create execution group. Those commands used to go via Configuration Manager, but now in version 7, they directly interact with the broker. So now let's examine what changes have been made to this new interface. Slide number 5. So there are some similarities to the earlier Configuration Manager connectivity in that there is an option called Connect to Broker instead of Connect to Configuration Manager. So now you can directly connect to a local broker or to a remote broker. The removal of the Configuration Manager and even the PubSub topology, which has been now converged with the base MQ in version 7, it has allowed us to vastly simplify the administrative APIs. But for the compatibility purpose, package names, class names, method signature, they are left unaffected. So support for version 6 applications developed on the CMP API continues to be available in Message Broker version 7. So the existing applications can be compiled without any change, and they can be run without any change in Message Broker version 7. Other enhancements that include basic, advanced, and everything view, which gives you the variety of information based on the options that you have selected. So there is a lot more information available to see in the CMP API. You can also control the service traces for execution groups and message flows from the CMP API exercises. We also have a new component called administration queue that shows pending and submitted tasks that are being waiting for a broker to be processed. So that shows you what is broker doing at a particular moment of time if it is processing any deployment requests. Another facility available in CMP API exerciser is configurable services can now directly be viewed and administered from the API exerciser. Slide number 6. Okay, so as we just said, the configurable services are now directly available through CMP API exerciser. So you can add new ones, configurable services. You can edit existing configurable services. You get the execution details in API exerciser log window, as you can see in the bottom pane, in the figure that you see on the slide number 6. So Message Broker version 7 also provides some templates which can be used for defining the new configurable services. As you can see here, there is an example shown for TCP/IP client configurable service on the right-hand side, and context menu to delete or modify has been depicted there. So there are some new classes added for administration queue and configurable services. We'll move to slide number 7. So as I said, there are more options available in API exerciser. So there are additional classes included for message flows and nodes. So that helps you see even additional properties, runtime properties for message flows, nodes. You can enable, disable user traces, service traces for message flows. And you can even start and stop a statistics collection for message flows. So there are some additional classes to view node properties, connection between the nodes, and to view advanced properties to present variety of data related to the broker and execution group. So moving on to slide number 8. So with these changes in the CMP API interface, user may have a concern about their existing applications which were developed at version 6.1 or 6.0. So, but there has been a compatibility provided with version 7 broker. This should be noted that package names, class names, and method signatures, they remain unaffected. Hence, existing applications can still work with the version 7. So, as you can see in the example here, the code here is for connecting to a configuration manager. So when this code is run in version 7, the broker will pretend to be a configuration manager and it will return sensible information that the existing application might expect. So the applications that do operations that are relevant in V7, they will continue to work. Since some of the classes have been deprecated, warnings are issued when compiling the previous applications. However, it is recommended that the customers choose to use version 7 API wherever possible. Slide number 9. Okay, so now let's look at the administrative security setup in version 7. So administrative security was handled by configuration manager in version 6.1 through access control list on various runtime components. Also, the PropSec security was handled by configuration manager by registering with username server. And broker was using MQ security for runtime purpose for permissions on the queues, setting up SSL, etc. So if you can notice, before version 7, the security was managed at different places. But in version 7, since the configuration manager dependency has been removed, the security model has become simpler with just single point of enforcement at broker queue manager. We will see more details on it in the following slides. Slide number 10. Okay, so broker administration security controls the rights of users to complete administrative tasks for broker and its resources. The broker administration security is an optional feature that you can activate if you want to use security in your environment. So when you create a broker, by default, the security is not enabled. So you can specify an additional parameter called minus S to enable security when you create the broker. You can also change the status of your broker administration security after you have created the broker. And that can be therefore enabled or disabled when you feel appropriate. So simplified administration security allows three levels of authorization for administration. First is reading, second is writing, and third is executing on the two object types, broker and execution group. So the read permission on in the message broker, it transfers to inquiry permission in MQ. Write permission in message broker transfers to put permission in MQ, and execute permission in message broker transfers to set permission in MQ. Slide number 11. Okay. So when you have enabled the broker administration security, so security is controlled by registering extra MQ permissions for specific user ID. So permissions are recorded on following authorization queues that are defined on the broker queue manager. So in the chart, we have listed three broker permissions that are available. So the reading action corresponds to viewing broker properties, viewing execution group properties, message flows, message sets, etc. Write action, write authority corresponds to the actions like creating and deleting execution group, creating configurable services, setting broker properties, setting execution group properties, and deploy operations. And execute authorization transfers to the actions like starting and stopping execution group, starting and stopping message flows. So when you create a broker and when you enable the security, so there are predefined queues like system broker authorization queue. So those queues will be created for specific execution groups on which you will be imparting the security for specific actions like read, write, or execute. Slide number 12. Now let's look at another major change in version 7 architecture. Until message broker version 7, broker had to use internal database for maintaining its repository and vital information for its runtime components. But version 7, broker does not require a system database. Broker now creates and manages configuration data in internal repository in a local file system in the form of files. So this is one of the key features to improving the simplicity and the number of dependencies message broker product had on earlier versions. You can still backup and restore broker components and its internal repository using MQSR backup broker and MQSR restore broker commands. Database support for message flows and user data is unchanged, so you can still access them using ODBC-JDBC interface. In version 6 and earlier, in version 6 and 6.1, you had an option to create the DB database for development purpose, and for that, the DB instance manager was required. Since broker now no more depend on internal database, so database instance manager has also been removed from version 7. Slide number 13. So this is just a pictorial representation of what we just saw. So now broker directly interacts with the files on the file system, and it no more depends on the system database. Slide number 14. So with the various components that are removed, like configuration manager and PubSub has been converged with MQ series. So there are a lot of tables that have now been removed in version 7. So there are only 7 tables that our broker requires for this operation. Now, these tables are not really the database tables, but they maintain the similar structure when they write into the file system to store the information. So the tables that are listed here are typically to manage the admin agent, execution groups, the deployed resources, and the method set information. Coming to the NQSA browse command, it was earlier used for viewing the contents of the broker tables. So you can still use this command to view the content. Though it reads from the file, it represents the data to the user in the same format as it was seen earlier. So the interface remains the same from a user perspective. Slide number 15. Since the database dependency has been removed, there are certain changes to the command line options for various commands. So several flags are now ignored in version 7. Earlier, we used to use minus U, minus P, and minus N options to inform broker what user and password combinations to be used to access the internal database. But these options have now been removed. They may be used for some other purpose, but they no more used to set any database passwords. In previous versions of Message Broker, we used to specify minus I and minus A options to indicate the service user ID and service password. But this has been removed in version 7. So minus I, minus A are no more required to create the broker. So however, they are now used to set the default user ID and password to access the user database through your message flow. For database access, especially for the user database access, you can set the user ID password as earlier using NQSA set DB param. Slide number 16. Okay. So let's look at how user databases are accessed on Windows and Unix platforms. First, we'll take a look at Windows platform. So when accessing a user database on Windows platform, the logic that has been used is defined here. So for ODBC interface, following order of precedence is used. So if you have used NQSA setDB params on specific DSN, which is being accessed to the message flow, then that user ID password combination will be used. If you have not set any specific DSN, then it will look for the default DSN user ID password. If that is also not defined, then broker will try to use system user ID and password to connect to the database. And same order of precedence is used for JDBC connectivity. Slide number 17. So the logic here is similar to the Windows platform, but there is one change over here. As we saw in Windows platform, first, the broker would look for a specific DSN. If any value is set for using NQSA setDB params, if there is no specific DSN found in the broker registry, then it will look for the default DSN, which is indicated in the bracket there. If that is also not defined, then it uses the constant values set as NQSA user and password as stars. So what this indicates is that it prompts user that you have not defined the default user ID password for accessing the user databases, neither the specific DSN values. So it is using the pre-set values like NQSA user to connect to database. And obviously, it would error with user to set values for their database source name. Slide number 18. So there are new commands available to backup and restore broker configuration. So they are NQSA backup broker and NQSA restore broker. So the data that gets backed up using these commands is deployed resources, message flows, message set dictionaries, jar files, broker registry, all configurable services, and other runtime resources that you may have deployed using bar file. The command does not back up the resources like transient information, for example, in-flight aggregation or collections, executable code, including resources that are associated with user-defined extensions, like nodes, parser, user exits. And it also does not back up the share MQQs or the data stored in user databases. Okay. So you can run this command while the broker is active. However, you must not take a backup while broker is processing the configuration changes like deployment of some bar files. Otherwise, the backup file created might contain incomplete information. And if the file contains partial records, then you cannot use it to restore the broker at a later time. So to ensure that the backup is complete and correct, either take a backup when the broker is not processing any configuration change or when the broker is stopped. Slide number 19. Okay, so now let's move on to seeing the new component called Message Broker Explorer. So Message Broker Explorer is a graphical user interface based on the Eclipse platform for administration of the brokers and queue managers. So earlier we had a support pack called IS02. Now it has been productized with additional enhancement and is being called as Message Broker Explorer. So you can install Message Broker Explorer only on Windows and Linux platform which run on x86 architecture. And you can only view and interact with the brokers that were created in version 7 broker. So slide number 20. So as we just said, you can only view and interact with brokers that are created in Message Broker version 7. And it allows broker administrators to do following activities. You can view local and remote brokers. Actually, if you start the Message Broker Explorer, it will automatically discover the local components running on your system. You can also view execution group flows running on the broker. So you can create and delete local brokers. You can start and stop brokers. You can deploy the bar files using various means and to the multiple execution groups simultaneously. Another facility available is to enable the services on execution groups and flows. You can also enable accounting and statistics. And it also provides data power security wizard for the connectivity with the external security provider. And you can also set security profiles, policy sets for the broker. And of course, there are much more options available for queue manager administration as well. Slide number 21. So this is a screenshot of the Message Broker Explorer showing various views. So if you see on the left-hand side, you can see queue manager and broker and their components. In the middle pane, we can see the queues. We can see the bar file editor. On the right-hand side, you can see the resource statistics graph. Slide number 22. Okay. So Message Broker Explorer also provides a number of quick views that you can use to view the properties of broker and their resources. So these quick views are automatically displayed when you click the resource in the broker folder in the Message Broker Explorer. So there are various quick views highlighted here. So on the left-hand side, you can see the full employment station quick view. Then you have all bar files available, which are available in the workspace. On the right-hand side, you can see local and remote broker information. And you can also see administrative log, deployment log at the bottom of the Message Broker Explorer view. Slide number 23. Okay. So the deployment mechanism has been made very simple through variety of means. So once you have created the bar file in your toolkit, then you have various means of deploying it onto the broker. So some of the methods to deploy the bar file are listed here. So you can drag and drop bar files directly from the file system onto the execution group. You can drag and drop the bar file from Message Broker Toolkit resource perspective to the execution group in the Message Broker Explorer. You can also drag and drop bar file from within the broker resources in Message Broker Explorer. Also, you can deploy the bar file from the toolkit execution, you can deploy it to the multiple execution groups simultaneously. You can also use bar file content page on the bar deploy wizard, and then you can use it to deploy to the multiple execution groups. And there are many more combinations that you can use to deploy the bar file to the execution group. Slide number 24. So let's see on what the administration log provides an user. So now the deploy action returns lot more information back to the user. So administration log information is returned to administration log view in Message Broker Explorer. The log view displays actions performed on the broker by all the users. It's not just limited to the user who is connected to the toolkit currently. So the administrator, so that helps administrator to get more useful messages back on the deploy operation. It also offers options to save the log for viewing some at a later point. So as I said, the administration log not only logs the messages for the current user, but also for the other users who are connected to the broker in the domain. So it gives you a wider view of what is happening in an overall broker domain. Slide number 25. Okay. So similar to the Configuration Manager API exerciser, the configurable services are also exposed in Message Broker Explorer. So typically these are used for defining properties that are related to the external services on which the broker relies. So you can use this Message Broker Explorer view to add, modify, delete these services. So you can also choose to create and name the new configurable services, and you could define your own configurable services, or you could use IBM defined templates. Alternatively, you can modify the existing IBM defined configurable services as well. You can also import and export configurable services files to the broker from other brokers. It also supports to drag and drop the configurable services from one folder to another folder, that is from one broker to another broker. Slide number 26. So another facility for administrator is to view what actions are pending at the broker side. So something new that has been introduced is called administration queue. It shows all the pending and submitted tasks that have been sent to the broker and which are awaiting to be processed. So even if there are multiple request submitted to the broker, only one of these tasks will be submitted in the it will be in the submitted state and others will be in the pending state. So you can remove the task from this administration queue if you want to cancel a particular operation that has been sent to the broker, but you can act only on the tasks that are in the pending status. So overall, administration queue offers another way to view and administer on what exactly the broker is doing. Is slide number 27? Okay. So let's summarize the benefits offered by Message Broker version 7 administration. So with the number of dependencies removed and with the introduction of the Message Broker Explorer, the broker environment is now a lot easier to manage. Message Broker Explorer provides unified view of broker and key manager domain. And there is more information that is available for viewing in Message Broker Explorer for various admin activities that you may want to perform. And some long-standing issues have now been eliminated in version 7. Like you can now create a broker in just one step. So there is no configuration manager association step. So there is no requirement of a service user ID on non-Windows platform. So there is no concept of default execution group. Since the simplification model provides one view of the world, in the sense that earlier there used to be two repositories maintained, one at configuration manager side, another at broker runtime side. But with the removal of the configuration manager, we have only single repository and that also maintained in the file system. So the earlier problems associated with the synchronization between broker and configuration manager have now been removed, and the deployments are more reliable and they are quicker as well. Slide number 28. Okay. So with this summary, let's just look at what are other facilities available for problem determination in Message Broker Explorer. So first, let's see how to troubleshoot the Message Broker Explorer itself. There are four logs which are constantly returned to. So these are all found in the workspace.metadata directory. There is a log file for overall Eclipse logging. There is a broker explorer.log file. There is one log file associated with default configuration wizard that you run to create your initial components. And there is one log file associated with the command assistance wizard. Slide number 29. So the .log file is Eclipse main error log file to log the Eclipse-related messages and to log the uncaught exception. The other three log files are Message Broker Explorer specific. So the first one is Broker Explorer.log. So this file is constantly returned to when there are errors and warnings while executing some tasks in the Explorer. So this is overwritten at every Message Broker Explorer startup, and a backup log file will be made, which will be denoted by .dak extension. So the default configuration wizard.log file contains the output from running the default configuration wizard and if any errors associated with it. Command assistant wizard.log file contains all the action initiated by Message Broker plugin, such as in case of start, in case of stop, in case of create broker, etc. Slide number 30. Okay. So as we saw earlier in the one of the screenshots, that Message Broker Explorer offers a view to monitor your runtime statistics. So earlier we had only accounting statistics for the message flows, which were typically revolving around processing of messages, its CPU usage, wait times, etc. But version 7 provides some additional facilities called resource statistics, which provide the usages of your embedded JVM and the socket-related activities that your message flow may perform. Okay. So as a system administrator, you can use resource statistics to ensure that your systems are using the available resources in most efficient manner. So by monitoring the systems and analyzing statistical trends, You can keep system resources usage within the boundary that you consider appropriate, and it may also help you to take proactive steps to mitigate the issues. So if you detect that your system resources are under pressure, so you can examine these statistics collected by a broker to assess whether the cause of the concern is the use of those resources, that process, or they are due to the constraint on the system. So currently, Message Broker supports two types of resource statistics. One is for JVM and other is for the sockets. So each execution group launches its own JVM, and it provides support for all Java-based activities in that execution group. So some of the parameters that are available for monitoring the JVM usage are initial memory in MB, used memory in megabytes, then committed memory, and then max memory. Slide number 31. So some of the guidelines on how to interpret these numbers. So the statistics help determine how much memory is JVM using, whether there is an excessive garbage collection activity happening by looking at some of these parameters. If you do see a lot of garbage collection activity, it is not good from the performance perspective. So these numbers may help you determine if you need to adjust your minimum and maximum heap size. Similarly, the resource statistics for TCP/IP sockets also help you to see how many sockets are open in a given interval time, then how much data is being sent over the socket, how much data is being received over the socket. You can also see what is the maximum size of the message or data being received by the socket. So gives you the overall picture of the activity happening between your message broker and the external resources. Slide number 32. Okay, so to summarize, we saw how the simplification to overall operational model of Message Broker version 7 has been achieved by removal of the configuration manager and the broker's internal database repository. We also saw how the security managed at broker runtime in the absence of configuration manager. We also visited how Message Broker Explorer has enhanced the overall administration experience. We also saw the new resource statistics graphs available to Message Broker Explorer and how that can help diagnose some of the bottlenecks in the runtime environment. Slide number 33. So this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for your products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The event link on the support page points you to webcasts and conference information. So you can visit yesqr.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up to the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage Plan to open, update, view PMRs online, and the My Notification link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. So that concludes my presentation for today. And now I would like to hand over the phone to Joseph Lam.
Thank you, Amar, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Julie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Your first question comes from Hal Kaplan. Your line is open.
When will the first FixPath be released? I ask the question because some of us in the user community are reluctant to deploy WebSphere Message Broker 7 without at least one fix pack, and it's been 4 months.
Yes. So if you see in the release note of the product, so Message Broker version 7, the GA release itself is a production ready. So we would encourage customers to use this product, GA product, they can use it as a production itself. And it's not the conception that of at least one six pack is required to be able to use it in a production.
Thank you.
Yes.
Next question, Sandeep, your line is open.
Yes, can you specifically talk about the JVM users, and also in the whole presentation I haven't seen any WSRR related changes for Message Broker 7. Could you please explain?
This presentation mainly was aimed at administration facilities available. So we have not really gone into the new features of Message Broker version 7. If you notice on the technical assurance webcast, future webcast to come, so there is another session being planned for new features in Message Broker version 7. So you may be able to hear more about the WSRR announcements there. And
yeah.
About your question, yeah.
Yeah, and what about the JVM users and
yeah.
How it is optimized in Message Broker 7?
Okay, so if you read the details on the slide, so we, and also there is additional information available in InfoCenter that how to interpret these numbers. If you see committed memory and used memory ratio not matching together, then that shows that you have set your minimum heap size too high, that is not even being used. So that prompts user that they should take an action to reduce the minimum heap size as close as to the used memory in the JVM statistics. So such kinds of guidelines are given in the InfoCenter, and I have tried to list some of them in my slide as well.
Yeah, thanks.
Next question, Paul Hogan.
Good morning. My question is a two-part question, and it revolves around the Tivoli ITM6 product suite. Part one of the question, are you planning to integrate the new Explorer into the ITM6 TEP environment? So is there any integration there? Part two is WMB 7.0 supported by OmegaMon XE for Message Broker?
Okay. Yep, good questions. But I don't have answers to these right now. But I could get back to you by checking with our developers back in Huxley. Or my email ID is available on the slide. So I could get back to you.
Very good. I shall do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question, Joseph Gromig.
Yes, I'm interested in the interoperability between 6.1 toolkits and the 7.0 brokers, with specifically a focus towards migration. Say, I have a particular client with quite a few brokers in any one particular environment, and we would like to migrate each broker in place one at a time. So if we go to the one, say, one machine and migrate that broker, will the 6.1 toolkit still be able to deploy to it exactly as it did before with no change?
Yeah, toolkit, you cannot use the toolkit version 6.1 to manage the version 7 broker. So from the toolkit perspective, you will not be able to use it, but you might be able to use the NQSR deploy script to deploy to version 7 broker.
So
currently we support only version 7 toolkit to manage version 7 broker.
Okay, so the moment I migrate a 6.1 broker to be a 7.0 broker, they must deploy from the command line. But it can still be a bar file built by 6.1 toolkit, yes?
Yes.
question, Colin Bailey.
Hi, I don't know if this was addressed in the previous question or not. We use an automated deployment mechanism. We use the NQSI deploy command to the configuration manager. With the removal of the configuration manager, will we suggest to use that command to deploy to the brokers?
You can use the same command, and when you specify the connection parameters, they are now meant for the broker, the queue manager, and the port on which the broker queue manager is running. So
okay.
You could use, yeah.
Next question, Blair Robinson.
Hi, yes. Does Message Broker 7 support WTX version 8.2.0.4, or is there a new release that we would have to upgrade to?
Yeah, I think it would support version 6.1 itself was supporting 8.2.0.4, so we would expect the same support. And if there are any additional changes, I think they will be flashed onto the system requirement page. But yeah, as it stands, it would support 8.2.0.4.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There are no other questions at this time.
Thank you, Julie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.